This is definitely a home for my family and I. You know, I'd love to be part of this team as long as I can.
How many players in the history of the game have been identified as a Swiss Army knife by their coach? Peyton Krebs, that for Lindy Ruff, and gets his wish, which is long-term here in Buffalo. 4-year deal, avoiding salary arbitration, $4.5 million per. Welcome in, Brent Nowicki on Sabres Live.
So this is great for Peyton Krebs, right? It's a great Monday morning, knowing that now this is all done. You don't have to worry about arbitration. Which Peyton Krebs had 2 years before becoming a UFA. Mm-hmm. So now with this 4-year deal, the Sabres are buying 2 years of unrestricted free agency out of Peyton Krebs. But to me, what it tells me is the Sabres are, by going to $4.5 million, like the analytics projection was 3.5. I think we all know now that that's always been for this year on the low side. Everybody's going a million over. Yeah, well, most years too, but that everybody's going a million or even more over. So Peyton Krebs is probably going to be in the $4+ million range. But if the Sabres are saying we're willing to go to that for 4 years, that's because they see another one of those type of years where Peyton Krebs is going to play in a lot of different situations. He'll get a chance to perform and get some points like he did last year, but also is going to be needed on the bottom six, because there is going to be, a use for Lindy Ruff for number 19 to be able to not just produce points, but produce another sense of his role.
Well, he's definitely the highest paid at the, if you're looking at the bottom six, and
yes.
Would it surprise you that he is seventh highest paid now among forwards on the team? Would it surprise you?
It surprises me a little bit.
No, it shouldn't surprise you, because last year he was the eighth highest scoring forward on the team, and Alex Tuch is no longer there. So he's technically the seventh highest producing forward as well, coming back this season with the team.
But if with my plan next year, I think that you should have Kulik ahead of Peyton Krebs, probably having Oslin ahead of Peyton Krebs. And look, Peyton Krebs, like, he makes more money. He makes a million and change more than Jack Quinn. Mm-hmm. Now Quinn is entering his last year of his contract. So would I see Jack Quinn having more points and more goals and more production than Peyton Krebs? Yes. So I'm saying I probably see Peyton Krebs being in the 9 to 11 range when it comes to production. But again, what if he plays on the top line with Tage Thompson again, like he did for a big part of last year?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm saying, no, if you're going to be there, you got to be top six. That's why they paid him.
But where does Tage play?
He's playing left wing.
And how many forwards is too many forwards? Because
there
this group has an awful lot of forwards. You're still, I'm sorry, until I see it, I am not going to fully believe that Oslin, Helenius, and Kulik are all going to be cemented in the top 12 to start. Like, I can't believe it, because it has not happened yet. Yeary was not available when those two players were carving their way in. All of this unfolded at a time like Yeary's absence then allowed Krebs to have the breakout year, just shy of 40 points. And then a player we didn't see in the final 4 or 5 months, Justin Danforth is still on the team. Tyson Kozak has 2 years remaining on his deal. Connor Sherry was signed. Obviously, we expect him to be in Rochester, but still, you have an enormous group of forwards right now, which is what? Perfect? Is it like setting the table for more moves to come?
Well, okay, just quickly on that. I think if everybody is healthy in training camp going into game one, I think there would be a possibility to say, you know what, Yeary, you haven't played at all last year, and we have everybody healthy right now. Maybe he goes and has a conditioning stint to start the season. It's only 4 preseason games, and he's not going to play all 4, but maybe they really see how he does, and maybe there's a 3 or 4-game conditioning stint for Yeary to say, start the year there, and then we're going to get you going. It could happen. I don't know if that is going to be the case, but that's still kind of, you know, takes a spot on your roster. It's a conditioning spot and whatever. So there is that opportunity maybe for a Yeary Kulik or maybe Hellenius goes down to start the season knowing he doesn't have to clear waivers, and then if there's an injury, he's the first one coming back up.
It's the same with Östlund.
The same with Östlund. I think Östlund is going to be a part of the team. Like Lindy Ruff said, losing Östlund in the Montreal series hurt him. They hurt the team. I think he's there, but Hellenius earned that too.
Honestly, I think the bouquets have been thrown equally across the board to all three of them during their time with the Sabres.
100%. Yeah. And they all had the reason why the bouquets were thrown at them, because they did fantastic. Yeah. We've had other players like Isaac Rosanne got called up a few times, and it was like, he's having a hard time to get going at the NHL level. But the other ones have really got running right away.
Circumstances dictate, too, though.
Yeah, he played fourth line.
Well, no, he was never really part of it when the Sabres were on a run, which had them as, you know, a winning team.
It's a lot easier to play on the winning team when you're called up and you're free to play. But you ask, you know, does that mean more moves? And now we are in the Connor Hellebuyck season.
Still.
It's not ending. And there was news over the weekend, and Dave Pagnotta said the desired destination for Connor Hellebuyck is Buffalo, right? You got Mike McIntyre of the covers the Winnipeg Jets, and he says he has it at 95% now that Connor Hellebuyck will be traded, with the most likely destination being Buffalo. Is there others? I'm sure there's others, and there's people that are probably calling still. But it's all pointing towards Buffalo right now. And I'm saying, look, are we mid-July because we're the 13th? Is that considered mid-July? We're mid-July. We're mid-July today. This week is mid-July. So we're mid-July. Like, if something's going to happen, it's going to have to happen somewhat in the next, you know, week or 10 days, 2 weeks at most, for me to believe that it's really happening. So it's the Connor Hellebuyck season is still going on strong.
Well, Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Now, again, this is not something even AFP could accurately put a number on.
Yes.
He believes the odds are north of 95%.
Like,
when you pick it apart word by word, it's such a stupid thing to even, like, you know.
Like, if I may.
It's one person, and it's not 96%, and it's not 89%. Like, honestly, what are we even doing here? But
if his number was 95, it would work perfect.
The basis from his reporting was the agent. You know, for both Hellebuyck and Stuart Skinner, who's Ray Petkow, this writer, Mike McIntyre, points out that the agent would not have sold Skinner on the Jets if he thought Hellebuyck was staying.
Now, he would have been playing like 15, 20 games,
I know,
right? Like,
but
so, yeah.
There comes a point sometimes for many players where it's like, just take the money and don't ask questions. And I think Skinner might have been at that point, but that's my opinion. And obviously not, you know, what's driving this article from Mike McIntyre. But what was also mentioned in that was that San Jose could still be a potential surprise contender. And I believe in that wholeheartedly because, and you may not know this, but Jacob Trouba signed there.
Yeah, he signed there.
And
not
so
Utah.
When you changed your defense core the way San Jose has. And, by the way, you still have $13 million in cap space, which would nicely fit Hellebuyck and the one RFA they still need to get done in Colin Graf, not to mention what would also go out the door in trying to acquire Connor Hellebuyck. So the Sharks are in a position to be able to make, like right now they've got three goalies. They've got Nedeljkovic, they've got Askarov, and they've added Eric Comrie, which may have been the bait to bring in Connor Hellebuyck. Anyway,
to play with his former
to play with his buddy Comrie. But here's the thing. Are you 100% serious that you're going to build off of your 34-point improvement last year with that trio of netminders, or are you swinging for the fences on the heels of Nurse and Trouba and rounding out this group for Macklin, Celebrini and company and bringing in a guy who's going to give you five more years, which is the perfect mix for that super young team? As many believe, it would still be a really great mix here for the Sabres.
So San Jose is a playoff team with Connor Hellebuyck. I have no doubt in that. And so you're like, okay, the pillow fight fighting Pacific Division. San Jose gets Connor Hellebuyck, their playoff team. Buffalo gets Connor Hellebuyck. They would be my favorite to win the Atlantic Division and would be one of my favorite.
Back to back.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite to maybe win the Eastern Conference, which they were second to Carolina last year. I think that's a big piece you're bringing in. Now, interesting enough, so originally I thought, and before the draft, I thought, well, if a trade for Connor Hellebuyck is made, that's because Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen would probably go the other way. And for Winnipeg, that would be a good piece to get. A really good, young, number one goaltender in the NHL. You pair him with Stuart Skinner. You don't feel like you're losing much in the fact that you have two goalies and other pieces. Now that July 1 has come and gone, UPL has a five-team no-trade list. And so when I'm listening to other insiders and trying to read the tea leaves, like Elliot Friedman in his latest pod said he believes that the Sabres are very, very comfortable, which I agree, to go back and roll it back with Lucan and Lyon and Colton Ellis. Mm-hmm. They traded Devin Levi. You know, those are the three they want. But he said that if the Sabres were to make the move for Connor Hellebuyck, it would be to go with Colton Ellis. Basically, he's suggesting that because we're now past July 1, and I'm not suggesting that that's exactly what he's thinking, but my mind is going that, okay, so maybe Winnipeg is on Lukanen's list of not going there. Mm-hmm. So you have to trade Lukanen somewhere else. Maybe you go to San Jose and you say, hey, we have a young goaltender, whatever. But Winnipeg is going to want a goalie back, and maybe that's Lyon that would go with Stuart Skinner, which would be a good tandem there anyway, because mm-hmm. Lyon has proven that he can play good. Yeah. So now it leaves you with Hellebuyck and Ellis. So, you know, you could have a three-team trade where you say, we're going to trade Luukkonen to Nashville. Nashville is going to trade a goalie to Winnipeg, and Winnipeg is giving Hellebuyck to Buffalo. That could go. Those are complicated. I think for Jarmo Kekalainen, it's potentially more like, hey, we're going to be doing a single trade with a team, maybe with Luukkonen involved, and then go back to Winnipeg and go the Lion route that way. So that would leave you with Hellebuyck and Ellis. That's kind of what my whiteboard is trying to read through everything right now.
Amerk's talk will be extensive for us later on this week, on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. But yes, their whole schedule is out now. And, of course, they will open things up by taking on the Calder Cup champion, Toronto Marlies. Notice it takes a while to roll off the tongue. And I only say that because the Amerks played them in the first round, and it was a best of three, and it went three games. And if only the Amerks had a better third period, we wouldn't be talking about the Marlies as a Calder Cup champion. Anyway, home opener is October 2nd, Blue Cross Arena. Did you know, Marty, that of the 72 regular season games for the Amerks this year, how many do you think are within the division?
Within the division, I will say 40.
54. It is now an 8-team North Division as the Hammers are involved.
Hammers are back.
And the Hammers will make their first visit to Blue Cross Arena with Jay McKee as head coach on December the 19th. That is a really heavy run of home games right before Christmas for the Amherst. So one of many things to look
40s
at.
I said 40s because back when I was in Rochester, our division was a 5-team division. Rochester, Hamilton, Syracuse, Albany, and Adirondack. Mm-hmm. We played 44 of our 80 games against that division. So we had 10-10, 12-12 against those four teams.
Still play Syracuse 12 times and Utica 10.
Yes.
There is 8 against Cleveland, 6 against Hamilton, Toronto, Laval, and Belleville. It is time for D&D.
Dazzled and
disturbed.
All right, buddy. This is all you and a lot of Matt Boldy.
Okay, Matt Boldy was at the American Century Celebrity Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe. Not on the lake, by the way, just off to the 18th fairway.
But Belmar got hired by the Lightning last week, so his dreams are not entirely crushed.
But Boldy is using his gold medal as a ball marker on the green. He actually also had a little girl wear the medal while hitting on the range. Like, it was fantastic. A lot of hockey players represented at the American Century Golf Tournament. And after using the gold medal, Boldy, who had about, 25 feet for his birdie putt, he went in and sunk it. Now, Boldy finished 9th in the tournament. Marty Fish, former tennis player, mm-hmm. was the favorite to win and won. Joe Pavelski finished second.
Who has
second.
Won before.
He's won it last year, maybe. But Joe Pavelski finished second. Matthew Tkachuk was like tied for 21st or something. So there was a lot of them. But what a great showing by our hockey players at the American Century Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Dazzling was actually also Brooke Henderson yesterday on the LPGA Tour.
Hole in one this weekend.
Dude, she had an eagle on the par five and then the hole in one.
Yeah.
Back to back, four under over two holes. Insane. And then eagled 18 to get into a playoff.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
She's pretty
anyway,
good.
She was not, well, I don't want to say that
she
Alex
wasn't
was.
In Russia?
Right. Take us through. Is there a new beer club Obi's
so
a member
there's
of?
There's a beer club in Russia. These people have been meeting every Wednesday night for the last 7 weeks, hoping that Alex Ovechkin would show up. So they basically have been doing this on social media, saying it's the Alex Ovechkin Beer Club. Bunch of people, maybe 30, 40 people. And now the word got around that maybe Ovechkin would show up. So more people showed up. And sure enough, people are starting to freak out.
Were the chances 95% or higher?
95%, yes, according to my math. And then people are freaking out on the sidewalk. He's here, he's here. And sure enough, Ovechkin showed up. They're like, here you go, there's your beer. He took a big swig, signed autograph. First of all, I would have asked for a new beer, making sure there's nothing in it, right? Uh-huh. But, you know, that's the world we live in. But anyway, he took his beer, enjoyed it, and, yeah, went to the Alex Ovechkin Beer Club. So, like, this is great. The power of social media, the power of the fans. 7 weeks mm-hmm. without Ovechkin showing up, and then, boom, he shows up and had a beer with about 50 people there on the patio. It was great.
One more year leads to one more beer. Disturbed time and soccer, shockingly.
So soccer, you all know that, you know, they dive a lot, right?
Oh,
and I'm always saying, like, but if you want to stop the diving, you got to make some good calls. And so on this play, Argentina was given a yellow card for a tackle.
What?
And then VAR buzzed the referee and said, hey, you know what? This may be an error. So they reviewed the play and gave Switzerland player Brill Embolo a yellow card. Well, he already had a yellow card earlier in the match. So now that's his two yellow card. It becomes a red card. He's ejected. Switzerland had just tied it 5 minutes before, 1-1. So now Switzerland's got to go down a player. They played with 10. They end up losing 3-1 in extra. They were hoping to go to penalty kicks.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, let's defend. Argentina ends up winning. But
so what do you think is a greater combat to diving? This approach or, like, the NHL slapping a $2,500 fine on somebody?
Well, I think this approach is...
yeah, but it hasn't... See, you say that, but it hasn't changed a damn thing about soccer.
No.
It's still
played
by... Well, it's part of the game. Diving.
Like, it's part of the game because in soccer, so much is about set pieces, right?
Yes.
Free kicks and all of that. So you're trying, you're in the box, you're going to dive hoping to get a penalty kick, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why it, but this was to me, was wow, like what a turn of event. First, it was supposed to be a yellow card for Argentina, then it's a yellow card for Embolo,
yeah.
And he gets kicked out on the double yellow red card. What a crushing way to get out of the tournament.
Marty's World Cup minute or 43 seconds still to come here on the show. Also, Pat Malacaro as well. He's coming up. Hockey guy, baseball guy, and more. And did you know Sabres Embedded debuts tonight at 7 on Sabres YouTube?
Good evening, Buffalo, and welcome to the 2026 NHL Draft. I figured I'd ask a couple of local linemates to help me get this.
Look at the size of him. I think you clear the front of him. That's pretty good.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's go, Buffalo!
Just a bit more, just a bit more.
I like that one.
Energy up. Up. That's it, follow it. Yeah, that's it, that's it.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber. I want to see him. I want to meet him. I want to let him know who Snow is.
JB!
Hey, how are you?
Damn,
pleasure, bro.
You get a couple flicks, man. Look, hop down here.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure, bro. What's up?
I love that! We love you!
It's you, Josh.
No, I'm calling him.
Yeah, man.
Back with more of
Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres and KeyBank Center are teaming up for a pet adoption event here in partnership with the Buffalo Bills as well. You can meet adoptable cats and dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations, plus bring unopened cat or dog food to donate, and you'll receive 30% off at the Sabre store. This is all happening on July the 25th. For more information, visit sabres.com/adopt.
2-2. Clubbed in the inner right. Game is over. John Keyes walks it off the top of Billy Hill. 4-2, Bisons win.
How about this guy? Four home runs in this homestand. He is absolutely, we talked about him before the game. He is absolutely tearing it up.
Pat Mellencaro, voice of the Bisons, with us in studio. Of course, you've heard Pat for years, I want to say decades, talking hockey as well here in Buffalo, but you're looking too young. How are you, Pat?
Doing great. And that was a great play, home run walk-off by Sean Keyes, who's in the big leagues now. One of the great stories of the Bisons this year. It's been a fun summer so far.
So right off the bat, you're like, game over. It could have hit a wire. We've seen that now in sporting events where there's wires hanging and whatnot. But over years, off the bat, can you hear the sound and say that's a home run?
More often than not. Yeah. I've been wrong a few times, and I have to wait a little bit longer. But that one, that was his second home run off the top of the right field party deck. He went over it earlier in the homestand. So 2 days later, I knew that one was gone, and luckily I wasn't wrong.
So you're coming in only because it's All-Star break for you as well, along with the major leagues. You've got a little extra time here.
Yeah, what better way to spend the first off day than with you guys?
This is an addiction for you as well, just like it is for us, right? Like, you can't stop
and
talking.
It's an everyday thing.
It is with baseball for the most part. I mean, you have an enormous role, obviously, as, you know, the play-by-play guy, but it's not limited to just that. I mean, take us through just, you know, kind of what life is like for you as we are at the All-Star break.
Yeah, minor leagues, you're the jack of all trades, and you do a lot of different things, and it's interacting with the players. It's making the roster moves. Like, Chad Dallas is going to rejoin the team in Syracuse this Friday. So finding out that he's coming back and C.J. Van Eyck is going to make his major league debut, and a lot of the behind-the-scenes type of stuff to help make that happen. So it's a lot of broadcast. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and getting to interact with our coaching staff, too, which I don't know if you guys know this, but Casey Candel, his mom was the reason behind the movie A League of Their Own.
Oh, okay.
So, like, meeting people like that over the course of decades now in sports and in baseball is what makes it so fun.
Was she Dottie Henson? Is that what it was?
She was.
His
brother did the documentary based on their mom and her sister, who was the Kick character.
Yeah. Wow.
And they're both from Canada. They came down to the States, played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And it was the documentary that Penny Marshall saw on PBS that they turn into the screenplay. So just stories like that that you come to find out over the years are really cool.
One of those movies, when it's on, I got to watch it. It doesn't matter if it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. I put it on. Great soundtrack, by the way. So I remember getting the soundtrack back in the days. Okay, that's our A League of Their Own talk. But the Bisons, so AAA has this first half, second half type of situation. So the first half is done. The Rochester Red Wings won the first half in their division. And now the second half has started, and the Bisons are, 9-9 in the second half?
Yeah, just 18 games in the second half. It started right before the 4th of July. Yep. The four-day break now, and they'll get back to Syracuse on Friday. 75 games in the first half, 75 games in the second half. And that's the beauty of minor league sports. You might be a team that is 10 games under .500 in the first half, but maybe you get some players from AA, or your organization signs a player that might go to the big leagues, might not. Well, now you've got life. You've got a chance in the second half. And the Bisons almost won the second half a couple of years ago, and it really energized the team for something to play for.
What's coming up? I mean, right now, as far as big nights ahead with the Bisons.
Yeah, when the team gets back home next week, there's a lot of great stuff. But even before then, this coming Thursday, 716 day at the ballpark. And we know 716, the area code here, is so big. And I don't think fans have the opportunity yet to really see the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursday, fans can take clubhouse tours. They can go on the field. They can have a Salins hot dog. They can, have some Weber's mustard on it and enjoy Bisons baseball. To see you.
Am I right? Is it 716 free hot dogs are being given out that day?
It is. And then a donation to the charitable foundation as well for anyone that wants maybe an extra one. Or even if, I know fans always say, I love to try and hit a home run at our ballpark. We're going to have the opportunity for fans to pay $16 to try and do that.
That's the
crazy
part here.
Do they have to hit
here
from the second base, though, to get it
No. There's a like non, what? How do you describe it?
Like a snow fence. Yeah. We'll set up a snow fence in the outfield.
But if you go beyond that and beyond the real wall, there's like a little added incentive here, obviously.
Yeah, $25 Bison's gift card to anyone that can hit one over the actual wall, like a Gallagher.
You're only getting seven swings, yes, right, for the $16 donation. It's not like sit there and take seven strikes necessarily. I mean, you're getting seven swings at it, but I love it.
Who's tossing? The automatic machine, or is there somebody that's underhand, overhand toss there? Like, I love doing that, by the way. I love to be the... You know, doing BP when Jacob played or whatever, and just like throw strikes and let him hit me. That was awesome.
I think it's going to be a machine. Yeah. We're not going to set it to like what the guys hit at normally, because the machines these days, they can pick up, there's certain machines that will simulate the arm angle, the arm slot, and the speed, and all the breaking balls. We're not going to go that far with it, but a regular one's good enough.
That's pretty cool. Now, last week was one of those nights that I've yet to go to, but I want to, was bring your dog to the ballpark.
Yes.
So they set it up in two sections. Everybody sits there. I know there's still to August 18th, and I think September, maybe it's the 8th or the 2nd, but there's a couple more. Mm-hmm. How fun is that at the ballpark where all the dogs are going and barking and whatever craziness happens?
Oh, it's great. I love to see all the different dogs sitting in the seats, you know, all shapes and sizes and, you know, different colors and everything. It's so great. We had a dog parade at one point this year and see them walk around the warning track. Luckily, our groundskeeper wasn't too busy that day afterwards. But, yeah, it's so fun. And, you know, dogs, it's hot in the summer, I know. Yeah. But for them to come out to the ballpark with their owners and just enjoy the game and maybe even have a hot dog, too, it's so fun.
Yeah. They set up water stations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a ball that gets hit in that section, it's all mayhem. It's all dogs for themselves. That's good.
Cheerios jerseys.
Yes.
Did they debut yet?
August. Early August. Yeah. Our city smells like Cheerios night in partnership with General Mills. It's such a great promotion. There it is. The jersey and cap. I think they're so fun. And even just down to the detail of, you know, like you have the nutritional facts on the sleeve there. So, you know, all the different things you know and love. And when you go to the grocery store, when you see cereal, you see the bright yellow box and you think cereal. Yeah. So that was what we were going for. And I think it came out great.
The new era.
This
cap
is the second year.
Spectacular.
Is this the second
first year?
That. First year of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they announced it like that it was going to be coming, but yeah. So what other like theme nights? Obviously, for the 4th of July this year, they were on the road, mm-hmm. right? So that's usually, but then you make it up with other theme nights. They had Star Wars nights. Like, what other theme nights do you like?
Another big one is drone show at the ballpark.
Okay.
We have 200 drones in our homestand in late August, and it'll be a theme of sports movies.
Okay.
So kind of like our vintage movie night over on Saturday, we'll be bringing up different vintage movies and different clips and scenes that'll be enacted by over 200 drones. And last year we did Buffalo Sports, and fans loved it. And we love fireworks on Friday nights, but how do you make things a little bit different? And I think it blew everybody away with how specific and unique it was, and it's quickly becoming a fan favorite.
Well, the affiliation certainly seems to have injected pretty significant life into the Bisons, if I do say so, over the last number of years with Toronto. So it's probably fun for you to see Dylan Cease be the starter for, you know, the American League here in the All-Star game. What did you make of how he found out this, like, this artwork,
the drawing,
if you will.
The drawing, yes.
If you want to call it that. I think it's great. And his manager, John Schneider, is going to be the manager of the American League. I love the tradition of the All-Star games in baseball, where last year's World Series managers are the managers for the American National League. So why not choose Cease, who is the ace of the Blue Jays? Pete Walker, the pitching coach, drew that.
How does it say change up are scary? Is that what it is? Or sexy, yes. Change up are sexy, yes.
And he throws really hard. So, yeah, his changeup is like what some guy's fastball is. So it's impressive. And Ernie Clement, the local story, Rochester kid who plays hockey in the offseason and grew up loving hockey. You know, he's going to start the All-Star game, get the most votes of anyone in the American League to start the All-Star game.
To modern-day Rory Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, way to go, Rochester. That's where it all started with Rory. Is our good friend Howard Simon still doing the pitch clock? And he said that as actually a very stressful job, because you have to be on top of every single pitch. So how is he doing, our good friend Howard Simon?
He's doing great. No issues with Howard. And you're right. It is one of those jobs where you're watching the game the entire time, and you're making sure, okay, the guy steps out of the box, I've got to reset the clock. Is it 15 or is it 18? Is there anyone on base? So baseball's a thinking man's sport, and Howard has to be on his feet and on his toes all the time. So
I want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I think we can make that happen. Yeah.
Well, I've been in the booth with you for an inning or two.
I called a couple plays,
and you know, so I may want to do that again. Maybe I'll let you know and come bring my dog to the booth, and that will be good.
There is no chance this guy could stay focused to run the pitch clock.
No, not the pitch clock, but to be in the booth. Baseball would be my jam because you just talk for 3.5 hours,
I know,
right?
But I thought you were trying to take Howard's job from him, and there's no way you could
Howard's
do that.
Job,
so.
No. The pitch clock, I would be definitely distracted.
Pat, big hockey news today. Peyton Krebs got his 4-year deal, 4.5 per with the Sabres to avoid arbitration. Your thoughts?
I love it. I think it's a good deal for a player who is, 80 games in each of the last 3 years. He's on the ice all the time and different roles, too. I think he's adapted his game to whatever role the coaching staff has needed. So you need those players, whether bottom six, top six. He fills a role on this team, and good to have him for 4 more years at least.
What was it like for you guys this year? You know, post game, here in the arena, playoffs, taking callers. Like, when could you sense that things were changing, even in the fans' approach to what the Sabres were doing?
Felt like in early February, right before the Olympic break, even though there wasn't many home games right before it, you got the sense that things were starting to turn, and then Tage goes and wins the gold medal, and there's a lot of excitement coming out of that, and then you get the game against Tampa, and you got all those different games that the Sabres just found ways to win, and maybe they were ahead or they were behind, and they didn't back down from teams. I think that's one thing in this area, right? Fans gravitate towards, if you don't back down, if you're giving yourself a fighting chance, they're gonna respect it and cheer for it. So we kind of got that feeling as the months moved on in February into March, and it was so exciting. And you know, even just being down the street when the Bisons were playing and the playoff games were going on, you felt the buzz as fans were parking and walking down the street. The weather was beautiful. All of it led to it, you know, a fun summer.
Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bisons, with us here in studio on Sabres Live. How many years covering hockey, and then how many years specifically as voice of the Bisons?
16 years on the Sabres broadcast, I believe, on the GR side. And this is my 8th year of full-time play-by-play for the Bisons. I'm a lifer there. I've been there since high school in some capacity, so they just can't get rid of me yet.
But it was your first year this year, actually, not just doing the radio side of the broadcast, but you did some TV work with us on the tape, and then you know, working closer with me and getting the highlights and all of that. What was that experience like, being in studio for some of those road games and getting to see it from a different angle?
I just don't want to screw up.
We all screw up. Duffer would say that you know, you make a mistake, you move on. That's the way I look at it, just like giving up a goal. But you were awesome, by the way. It was so much fun. But what was your experience like?
There's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and you know that working in the business, but fans might not get to see just all the different the highlights that have to happen, or the graphics that go up on the screen like right now, and all the different cutting the highlights and all that. So I think all the different things that work together, that to me is the most impressive part. Is it's a team, right? It's a group of people that come together and put these productions on, and for it to come off as flawlessly as it does, I think is a testament to everybody.
Yeah, people think sometimes that if you're in the control rooms or a Sabres road game, during the period, you're probably just not doing anything. That's when it's busy, because everybody's got to prepare for the intermission. What are our highlights? What are our package? What are we focusing on? So that gets very, very busy.
I wouldn't call it busy.
Well, we have time to eat, which is good, and maybe walk to the bathroom, which is good.
I'm not trying to mislead the public, so I'm going to be honest. It's not that busy, not the way Marty's making it out to be. But
I sweat. I'm so intense.
Because you won't stop talking and running around. That's all.
I do run around, yes.
When you went to Syracuse for this line of work, I mean, how different is it now? Like, even just like walking in and working with us this year behind the scenes for some games compared to what you were learning back in your college days.
I joke with people, there was one sports broadcasting class at Syracuse, and that, well, the reason I went there is because you hear about Costas, you hear about all the some of the biggest broadcasters went there. Why not go to the school that they went to? Lucky enough to go there, but there was one class when I was a junior. Now there's an entire curriculum. You can go there and you can go for sports broadcasting, and maybe you have to take other classes as well, but you're learning how to be a broadcaster for 4 years. So I think that's the biggest thing. But, you know, when you're doing it and when you're in it, getting the reps is the biggest thing. So I think that was the part of the learning at Syracuse that I learned the most of, whether it was learning how to be a photographer, learning how to be a one-man band, shooting your own stuff.
And editing, all the rest, yeah.
And for a fake 6 o'clock newscast, I think that's it all rolls into the job you do today. So I think about back then, and even social media. It wasn't a thing when I started broadcasting in Batavia in 2008, but then it came about, and it's more than just, hey, here's today's starting lineup, here's who's on the ice first, and you know, here's so how that's evolved even.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Mug Dogs?
Yes.
In Batavia, yeah. My kid played for the Mug Dogs, but they were like a local, like a travel team or whatever. So,
but you mentioned.
But I loved those unis and the hat and all of that. That was pretty good in Batavia.
But you mentioned, like, you know, the biggest names, some of the biggest names in sports broadcasting and Syracuse roots. I mean, you've also described yourself as a lifer here with the Bisons. And when you find yourself in the position you're in, you're following in the footsteps of some pretty significant names here in Buffalo sports history.
Yeah, people I grew up listening to, like Pete Weber. Yeah, he's been the only voice of the Nashville Predators and someone I talk to all the time. Yeah. And he'll send highlights and clips. So that's the thing about this job I love, is whether it's being on the intermissions while you guys are on TV and we're on radio, growing up and sitting in the oranges or the golds at a Sabres game and watching, you know, like Guy Lafleur play for the Nordique, yeah, you know, and things like that, or for the Bisons when they used to play in the old American Association. I look back on that stuff and think, how lucky am I to have been doing this for so long?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Now, did they teach you at Syracuse how to pick the winner of the Home Run Derby, which is tonight, and there's 8 contestants, a little different this year. They get 20 swings in the first round, 15 in the second, 15 in the finals, so it's not about, like, the extras and all of it, so a little simpler maybe to follow. Who do you got when it comes to the Home Run Derby tonight?
I'm going chalk. Kyle Schwarber, to me, it's his home ballpark. He's just... That ballpark is set up for guys like him or Bryce Harper. I think it's great how there's so much young talent in it this year, because I think baseball has seen over these last 3-4 years, the young talent is starting to take over and assert themselves into the game and become the faces of the game. So while Schwarber and Harper are the faces for Philadelphia, when you've got other players like a Ben Rice for the Yankees, yeah, you know, Wilson Contreras has been in the league for a while, is another one. Junior Caminero's playing so well for Tampa Bay and hitting so many homers. I think it's just across the board, baseball's in a good spot, and I think the Home Run Derby represents that.
No Houston representative, Duffer.
I don't know. Is there none?
Nope.
Not yet this year. No, not this year.
Philly, Tampa, St. Louis, Chicago, White Sox, Kansas City, Boston, and the Yankees.
Their reputation finally caught up to them?
There's nobody to bang on a drum to let them know when pitches come in. Oh, that was too easy.
Do you know?
I'm sorry.
Do you know 35 years ago this week, my first ever media credentialed event, the 91 All-Star Game, Major League Baseball in Toronto. Skydome was brand new. I had done a short internship at my college in Calgary, and the guy I worked with was like, hey, you're going home to Toronto for the summer. Would you like me to put in for credentials for the MLB All-Star Game?
Wow.
And he's like, you don't really have to do anything. You can file some reports for us if you want, which I, of course, did. But like 35, and you have to remember at the time, like Skydome was like this.
State of the art.
And the Blue Jays were like this. It was division titles every other year. It was the year before they started back-to-back World Series wins, you know. So it was pretty amazing. So like for you, when was your big break and how did that unfold?
Well, it was simply sending in a tape to somebody years ago. I graduated in 2006 and started sending CDs. They were still doing CDs back then. And cold called every team in what was the old New York Penn League, like Batavia.
Wow.
And they said, send us your CD. We've got someone, but if you never know. And come to find out 2 years later, the guy who is our clubhouse manager, who works with all the players, knew the GM of the Muck Dogs. They needed somebody, and he saw my tape, saw I was from Buffalo, and said, do you know this guy? And I started broadcasting games there, and that was my first real experience outside of calling into a tape recorder at Syracuse, any type of professional sport.
Amazing. Now, was that like a pretend call? Did you set it up at home saying, okay, I'm going to recreate this call? Or was that like real life action stuff that you were doing at the time?
Yeah, it was local high school stuff in Syracuse. It was sitting up in the upper deck of the Carrier Dome for preseason basketball games. An old school tape recorder and microphone just sitting there and recording and hoping that it was decent and then dubbing it over from cassette to CD.
To CDs. Wow.
professional view, when you look back, was it decent?
No. But it was a good starting point.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of learning. But that's what, like, so many people want to get into the business. And, yes, you could go to Syracuse. There's other colleges that are really good. Syracuse is one of the best. But
we've been told Mizzou.
Because Producer Sam. Absolutely. You know, going back to the basics and just having tapes and tapes and tapes and doing it at home and practicing. I used to watch the NHL games and I would pretend to be the goalie in front of the TV when I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and be like, I'm this guy. So you almost have to do the same thing. You want to get in the business? Mm-hmm. Sit at home and call your own inning, call your own games and get the reps that way. I think that's a good way to, you know, kind of get your language out there and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you got to start somewhere. And whether it's in school, whether it's in that way, absolutely.
We have one last one for you. Your Mount Rushmore of Bisons in this Blue Jays affiliation era.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is right at the top.
Yes.
And he spent, because he spent more than just a couple of games in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't put Max Scherzer on that list, even though he's going to be a Hall of Famer, or Joey Votto, because I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette is on that list as well. I think back to, there's been so many good ones. Luis Jimenez was a power hitter for the team in the first couple of years of the affiliation. Mm-hmm. And pitching-wise, I don't think there was anyone better than Marcus Stroman in his first couple of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are just the first four that come to mind of guys that in this, since 2013 have been really impactful.
Are you going to counter him?
No, my head was going to five, and then I realized Rushmore only has four heads. So good for you to think that. I mean, we've had the opportunity to see some really top-end player, like you mentioned, Joe Votto or whatever. Anything looking forward to maybe with some of the players with the Bisons for the rest of the season moving on to Toronto maybe next year and the years after?
Yeah, there's a couple of players, top 10 prospects in the organization right now that are in Buffalo, including one of the starting pitchers, Jake Bloss, who's number 8 overall in the organization. So hopefully he can, he's coming off an elbow injury last year, but he's going to be one of the main reasons why they'll be winning in the second half.
If you missed any of the promotional material pertaining to the Bisons, check it out at Bisons.com. Patty, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Pat Malacaro, awesome. Voice of the Bisons, will wrap up Sabres Live right after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Looking to see you and a large group in attendance at Sabres games this year. We're talking groups of 10 or more, and you can save on these experiences on box office pricing, get exclusive access to unique experiences like, you know, post-game photo at center ice and more. Head to sabres.com/groups to learn more. On that, less than 43 seconds, please, for your World Cup update.
Okay, well, we've got a couple of great semifinal. Tomorrow is France and Spain, and then on Wednesday it's England and Argentina.
Winners, please.
Winners, I'm going to say France and Argentina will meet in the finals, with France winning it all.
Winners from Wimbledon.
Well, there was a couple of really interesting finals this weekend, an all Czech final on the women's side. Noskova beat Muchova, and it was like Noskova like completely fell apart in the second set, but on the men's side it was an amazing slugfest. Sinner wins in four sets. The first set went to tiebreaker, second set was tiebreaker again, so close in the third and the fourth. So Sinner wins his second consecutive Wimbledon title, beating Zverev in four sets. It was great tennis. Both the women's and the men's final were amazing to watch and to listen, because I was doing some yard work, so I had it in the headset. Listening on the radio, tennis is something. Like, it's completely different.
Do you know Julius Caesar was apparently born on this day?
No.
Also Steve McQueen. Not as much in the way of highlight material from the hockey
like
world, but
McQueen?
Happy birthday, Sheldon Soure, age 50 today. I know, you get...
I sweat.
You sweat and you hurt when you hear the name Sheldon Soure. Thankfully, Ryan Vins never had to stare down a Sheldon Soure shot.
Vinzy.
But he has stared down many a Sabres before. He's in studio with us tomorrow on Sabres Live.